Chapter 82. The pilot got on the intercom and told them to buckle up, that they were beginning their descent and would be on the ground at Logan in less than 20 minutes. If the situation wasn't what it was, Jesse thought, he could get used to private jet travel. Hale Hunsicker's Gulfstream G280, complete with flight attendant, had been waiting for them when Ari dropped them off at Love Field. Suzanne, the flight attendant, came out of the galley of the aircraft and asked them if there was anything else she could get them before they landed. Jesse waved her off and smiled. Diana, too. She nodded at them and went back to securing things in the galley. Jesse, who'd been pacing, sat back down in his seat. He had his stoic game face on, but Diana knew there was a lot going on inside him. He wasn't a man to show his weaknesses or worries. He didn't make elaborate gestures or make public displays of affection. And he was a man of his word, but he was more complicated than the parts of him he showed to the world. He showed them to her, and that was enough. "Listen, Jesse," she said, "we both got caught up in things back in Dallas. No one here knows you asked me to marry you, and the way it all happened with me blurting it out just because I was with Jen," and her voice drifted off. "I mean that if—" "You don't have to explain. Same is true for you. You gave a great speech back in Dallas about how we'll make it work, but I know a life in paradise isn't what you want. If you want to change your mind, that's okay. That won't change what I feel about you." She looked gut-punched. "I don't want to change my mind. You?" Jesse shook his head. Diana smiled at him. Jesse smiled back at her. The smile didn't remain on Jesse's face for more than a few more seconds, because he and Diana had made some hard choices over the last several hours. Choices that might determine their own fates and the fates of the most important people in Jesse's life. Both of them had taken big risks before, with their careers, their lives, and other people's futures, but never the lives of others to whom they were so closely attached. The easiest choice was to leave Dallas and skip the wedding. Although much of their time there had been less strained than they had anticipated, had even been fun on occasion, neither of them had really wanted to be there in the first place. "I've never been much of a believer in fate, but now I'm not so sure," Diana said after a minute of quiet between them. Although leaving Dallas to get back to paradise was the obvious choice for them to make, it hadn't gone down well with Hunsicker. "You can't be serious. Jen'll skin me alive if you're not there tomorrow. She's really counting on you both being there. Frankly, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think she wants Diana there as much as you. There's some weird bond they have that has to do with you." "At least you know she'll be safe, Hale," Jesse said. "And you can't tell her. Everyone has to think we'll be there at the country club. If this goes the way we hope, Mr. Peepers will never trouble anyone again. We all want that. You've seen the damage he's done and what he's capable of." Kahan had been the easiest to convince. He immediately understood the intentions behind what Peepers had been up to, and had even offered to send some of his people with Jesse and Diana back to paradise. "Look, at least take Ari with you. He's got experience at this sort of thing. He's the best man I've got." "I appreciate the offer, Scott," Jesse said, shaking Kahan's hand. "But we can't afford to send out the wrong signals, especially if Peepers has a plant at the wedding. And we can't have people showing up in paradise who don't belong or fit in. The risk is too big. Peepers has to believe we still think he's coming after Jen. And I can't chance you weakening things here if I'm wrong about this and he really is coming for Jen." "Okay. But I'll have a car waiting for you at Logan, and it'll drop you off wherever you want in paradise." The hardest decision they had to make was keeping things quiet and not letting Molly, Suit, and Healy in on what they thought was going on. His reasoning was much the same as it was for rejecting Kahan's offer of help. "It's okay if Peepers is aware the cops and everyone else is looking for him in Dallas. He expects that. He wants that. The more focus on Dallas, the better. But we can't give him an inkling that we know where he's really headed." Diana played devil's advocate. If we let word get to the media and warn everyone in Paradise, we might be able to buy some time and prepare for when he resurfaces. I can probably get an old pal at the Bureau to set up a task force focused exclusively on him. After the bombing and the sniper stuff he pulled today, I can probably get him a terrorist designation. And you know how the government is about terror suspects. You know that won't work. If he slips away from us now, we'll never see him coming the next time. He won't be sending me photos or making goading phone calls to me next time. He'll come at us the way he came at Gino Fish. And even if we all built fortresses around us, he'd win eventually. No, Di. Now is our chance, and we better take it. We won't get another. But all of those decisions were easy for Jesse compared to his decision to tell Diana the truth about what he thought was going on. His first impulse had been to lie to her, that he should do anything to protect her, to keep her in Dallas, far away from where he thought the confrontation with Peepers would go down. He was old-fashioned that way. He had always watched out for Jen, and he had always been more comfortable with Molly in the cop house with him than on the streets. But first with Sonny Randall, and up to now with Diana, he had treated them as super competent equals. The thing is, the minute he asked Diana to marry him, that all changed. Maybe it shouldn't have. Maybe it wasn't right. Maybe that made him a relic. But he couldn't deny his feelings. Still, when the time came for them to discuss their reactions to what Peepers had done at the Park Mansion, Jesse found the truth coming out of his mouth. The pilot got back on the intercom one last time to tell the flight attendant to buckle up and prepare for landing. Diana reached for Jesse's hand and squeezed it. He turned and smiled at her, then looked out the cabin window at the night sky and the welcoming lights of Boston. He couldn't help but wonder what they were being welcomed home to.